we shall rise. All those that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good to the resurrection of life, they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. I hope and trust that all of us on that day will rise unto the resurrection of life. We're thankful to God who has made it possible that we can rise to the resurrection of life. It is because of Jesus' death, Jesus' burial, and Jesus' resurrection from the grave. We have hope that we one day and rise to that resurrection of life. It is so good to have another opportunity on this side of life's eternity to come together as children of God and to offer the sacrifices of our praise and our thanksgiving to our God, who has been and is so good to us. We're here this morning because of his goodness and because of his mercy and love. We're thankful then to see all who are present, and especially if you're visiting with us, we thank you for being in our midst on this morning. If this happened to be your first time, we would encourage you to fill out a visitor's card and leave them with us. We'd love to have a record of your attendance. Thank you for being with us on this day, and we trust that when our services have concluded this morning, and if God's will on this evening, that whatever we do will be pleasing and acceptable in his sight. When we stand to sing the next song that has been announced, the song of invitation we call it, we will be encouraging anyone who may be in our midst who need to respond to the Lord in any way. If you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, not a member of the body of Christ, the church you can read about in the New Testament, we'll be encouraging you to obey the Lord. If you are a member, but somehow you realize that you walk contrary to his will, we trust that you turn away from that. And if you need to confess before us this morning, then we welcome and encourage you to do that. Or perhaps you just may want to ask for prayer. We encourage you to do that. Whatever your desire is this morning, however we can meet your needs, that is, that the body of Christ here, however we can meet your needs, let it be made known. And we will try our best to minister to you in whatever way that we can. Psalms 46, a portion of that psalm was read into our hearing this morning, the first seven verses. I would encourage you to read the entire Psalms, just a few more verses beyond seven. But if you would just read the entire Psalms, I believe that it would encourage you greatly. Let me, as we begin our time together in words of encouragement this morning, read just a few verses that Brother Porter has already read. And then I want to read verse 11 also. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, for this reason, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. The last verse that Brother William read, verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Verse 11 says the same thing that verse 7 says again. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. It's amazing that this Psalms begin with those encouraging words that God is our refuge. And near the middle of the Psalms, those words, though not repeated exactly, but the thought is the same. God is our refuge. And the last verse, God is our refuge. I want to talk this morning from the topic or the subject, great things to know about God. Great things to know about God. You know, we live in a time, and we have been living for quite some time now, in a time, I guess, since Genesis chapter 6, in a time when all kinds of ungodliness is rampant in the land. And it seems as though we've come full circle. Genesis chapter 6 talks about how every imagination of man seemed to be just evil continually. It looked like we are at that time again. So much wickedness, so much violence, so much sin that's rampant in the world today. And in that kind of environment, you and I this morning, we need some security. But without a strong faith in God, we will escape the refuge, the safety, and the protection that we so desperately need. But if we truly trust in God, the words of this Psalms mean so much to us. Again, he says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, because he's our refuge, because he's our strength, because he's our help, we'll not fear. Though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the sea. We don't like to see all the things that are happening. We don't like to hear about all the things that are happening. We don't like to hear and experience the negative things that happen to us in our lives. But they happen. But again, we need to know this morning that God, he's our refuge. He's our strength. He's our help. Jesus assured his disciples, and that assurance should take residence in our hearts this morning. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, when Jesus says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." If our faith is not what it ought to be, the devil will use all of the situations that I've just described to take us far away from God. Therefore, this morning then, we need to be reminded of who God really is, as it relates to his working in our lives for our good, so that we will never give up hope. Because he is our refuge. Verse number 1 is where my lesson is based upon this morning. Number 1, he's our refuge. Talking about great things to know about God. We need to know this morning and have confidence that God is our refuge. And number two, we need to have confidence to know that God is our strength. And yes, thirdly and lastly, we need to know and have confidence that God is our help. Those are the three great things that I want to remind us of who God is this morning. He is our refuge. Refuge, as you know, I'm sure, represents a place of safety, a place of protection. And yes, we need a place of safety. We need a place of protection. We sing the song sometimes that the Lord's our rock. He's our shelter in a time of storm. Don't we need a shelter? We need a rock. He's our refuge. Many times providentially for our safety. Dennis shared a story with the adult Bible class this morning just before I came in, but I picked up from what the comments that was being made that he had been providentially protected. In other words, God had not allowed something that could have been detrimental to him to occur. That's being a refuge. He's a refuge in times of physical protection, but more so, he's a refuge in times of spiritual safety and protection. Therefore, then, he should become the anchor of our souls. Our faith and our hope in him should be the anchor of our souls. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, the Bible says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for what? Refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Excuse me. Sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. I said more importantly, he's our refuge for our spiritual safety. Because physically, things are going to happen to us. It's inevitable. And I don't care how much we try to preserve this physical body, one day we're going to lay it down in the grave. And it may lay down as a result of natural death. It may lay down as a result of a violent death. It may lay down as a result of a terminal illness or whatever the case may be. One day it's going to lay down. And so I'm not so pressing the point this morning. And yes, we do need to have confidence in God that he is our refuge from a physical standpoint by providing providential care in our lives and not allowing certain things to happen, but I'm more interested in our realizing that God is our refuge for our spiritual lives, for our spiritual souls. Because again, violence can take away our bodies out of this life, but it can't take the soul away. We need to know this morning that God is our refuge for our spiritual safety. And too many people, I'm sure, are concerned about physical safety, and they care nothing about spiritual safety. We need to be concerned about our spiritual safety. Yes, indeed. God watches over his children, and he provides refuge. From a physical standpoint, in Old Testament times, he protected his children physically. And things that happened in the Old Testament, many times they typified from a spiritual standpoint what would happen in New Testament times in God's children. Y'all remember when the folks were down, God people were down in Egypt. And when Pharaoh had bound heavy burdens upon them, but it was time for them now to be delivered. Pharaoh's heart was hardened, would not allow them to go. God sent in 10 plagues. But one of them specifically I want to mention this morning was the plague of flies. Can you imagine going in this room is full of flies? Going out in the next room is full of flies? Ladies looking in your closet to pick out what you're going to wear and it's full of flies? Opening your refrigerator is full of flies? Opening your cabinet is full of flies? Opening your stove is full of flies? Going to get out in your car is full of flies? Can you imagine that? But you know what? God said about his people that he was going to protect them from all of those flies. And of course, he protected them from all of the plagues. And he said this in Exodus chapter 8 and verse number 22. And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen. I'll separate the land of Goshen in which my people dwell. I want you to notice he says, where my people dwell, that no swarm of flies shall be there, to the end that thou mayest know what that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. I'm going to protect my people from those swarm of flies. Not only did he protect them from the swarm of flies, but he also protected them from that last plague. Well, whether they were still in the land of Goshen, of course. And he said this in Exodus chapter 11, verse number 6. There shall be a great cry. The plague was that the firstborn of every household, the firstborn male of every household of man and beast, was going to die. But notice what he says. He says, and there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue. That's protection. That's protection. And you read, continue to read, and you find out that when that death angel came through, there were screams all over the land. But God's folks were not affected by that. You know why? Because God was their refuge. He's our refuge today. So I want to say to us this morning again that just as God protected his people physically in Old Testament times, he will protect his people spiritually in New Testament times. You can read also about the crossing of the Red Sea. He protected them then. Pharaoh was in hot pursuit, but God protected his people. Moses says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And those waters congeal or divided. God's people walked through on dry land, and Pharaoh and his army came in, and those waters collapsed and killed them all. That was God's protection. Not only that, but when they got into the land where God had promised them, there were 6 cities that were provided, and they were called cities of refuge. You can read that in Numbers chapter 35, that if anybody killed a person accidentally, they could run or flee to one of these cities and stay there until the priest died. Nobody could bother. But it's also pointed out that they had to stay inside the cities. You get out of the city, he says, your blood is going to be in your own hand. I want to say to us, that's talking about God's safety, protecting people when people do what he tells them to do. God will protect us spiritually when we stay and do what he tells us to do. And specifically, when we stay in the church. A lot of folks are leaving the church. There's no protection outside of the church. Protection is in Christ. Christ has a body, which is his church. That spiritual protection is in the church. Don't leave the church. I don't care what somebody say about you. Don't leave the church. Stay with the church. The church is our only hope to get to heaven. Y'all remember a few Sundays ago I talked about why everybody needs to be a member of the church? It's the only way we can get to heaven. Stay in the church. That's God's place of protection. That's his refuge, is in the church. Stay in the church. Folks talk about you. They lie on you. They mistreat you. They do all kinds of things to you, but you stay with the church. Don't leave the church, because that's God's place of protection. Therefore then, we should indeed commit our souls to him, because he's the only one that can protect and keep our souls. Paul knew it, and he wrote about it in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12. He says, "For which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." What had you committed to him, Paul? Your soul. He had committed his soul. Have you committed your soul to the Lord? Then stay with the Lord. The Lord is able to keep our souls. Why? Because he's our refuge. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5 talks about God will keep that inheritance for us. He's the one that provides spiritual safety for our souls. Stay with God. Don't leave God. Stay with Christ. Don't leave Christ. Because he's our refuge. Another great thing to know about God. Again, the verse number 1 says, he's our refuge and strength. God is our strength. The proverb writer, assigned by inspiration, of course, this name to God. In Proverbs 18 and verse number 10, he says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower." That's strength to me. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is what? Safe. I just talked about cities of protection, didn't I? Going to the city and being saved. He says the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into the tower and is safe. Again, when we stay with the Lord, we're safe. Oh, yeah, they may take your life, but you're still safe when you run to the Lord. The righteous, he said, runneth into it and is safe. Not only is it a strong tower, but the psalmist said that he's strong and mighty. Psalms 24 and verse number 8. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. He'll fight any spiritual battle that you may be faced with. Because nobody can go up against the Lord and win. That's why Isaiah was inspired to write in Isaiah 54 and verse 17, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper." Let them talk about you. Let them lie on you. Let them scandalize your name. But if you are a righteous person, they're just talking. That's all. They're just blowing in the wind. Don't let it upset you. Don't let it cause you to lose any sleep. When you are doing the will of God, God is going to have the last say. Yes, indeed, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Yes, indeed, I'm thankful that God is a God of strength. And we can be strong spiritually in him. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. The Bible says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Our strength to stand in these days when there are all kinds of things are thrown against us is in the Lord. It's not in us. It's in the Lord. Because we ourselves, we're nothing. But with him, we can overcome everything. No wonder Paul said to the Philippian Christian, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And even when we are in our weakest, physically speaking, when we are in our weakest, when we have God on our side with his grace, we are made strong. Paul was reminded of where his strength really was. He was given a thorn in the flesh, the Bible says. You can read about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, when he was allowed to be lifted up into the third heavens. And he saw things, he says, that was not even allowed for him to utter. But God realized that Paul was probably going to get beside himself. So he says, I was given a thorn in the flesh, lest I should be exalted above measure, to buffet me, to keep me in check. When certain things happen to us in our lives, brothers and sisters, that may be God putting us in check so that we won't get too high and mighty. But Paul said this concerning this thing. He says, verse number 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. We need the power of Christ resting upon us. Therefore, he says, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. But when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Our strength comes from the Lord. It's not in us again. It's in the Lord. So we need to be strong in the Lord. God is our refuge, number one. God is our strength. Number 3 this morning, God is our help. Not only is he just our help, but the psalmist says he's our very present help. He's our help right now. In this life, we need help. We can't make it alone. We need help. Jesus said in John 15 and verse 5, without me, you can't do nothing. So we need the Lord's help to get along in this life. We need his help to sustain us. We need his help to guide us. Jeremiah said, I don't know how to guide myself. I need the Lord's help to guide me. Oh Lord, I know, Jeremiah 10:23, that the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man that walketh to direct his step. No one of the psalmists would say, order my steps in thy way, O Lord. Yes, we need the Lord to guide and direct us. We need his help then to guide us. We need his help to save us. No wonder when Jesus had the conversation with Zacchaeus in Luke 19 and verse 10, he said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. We can't save ourselves. We need the help of the Lord to save us. Even when we get saved, as we struggle through this life, we are tempted. Time and time again, we need the Lord's help to help us in our temptations. No wonder the Hebrew writer would encourage these Hebrew Christians who were struggling with their faith because of the temptations and the persecutions that they were undergoing. The Hebrew writer would say to them in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 15, he says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted just like we were, yet without sin. Then he goes on and says, let us therefore go boldly, have confidence, go boldly, he said, to the throne of grace, that we may find grace and mercy to help in the time of need. We need God's help in temptation. We can't bear it all out on our own. We need the Lord to help us to get through these trying and temptations times that comes upon us. So we need to keep looking to the Lord, because our help comes from the Lord. The psalmist said in Psalms 121 division, he says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. But the help don't come from the hills. Help comes from the one who made the hills. So the next verse he says, my help cometh from the Lord. We need to keep our eyes lifted up and focusing on the Lord. Yes, indeed, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He says, the Lord will not suffer thy foot to be moved. What are you talking about? When you are spiritually connected with the Lord by doing his will, again, all of these things that come in your path, they won't move you. Why? Because you're strong in the Lord. The Lord is going to fight your battles for you. So again, as I say, let him keep on talking. But you're going to stay with the Lord. He will not suffer, he says, thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. You don't have to worry about when you need him. You have to wonder whether he's asleep or whether he's drowsy. He's awake all the time. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. We need to look to the Lord then. Keep our eyes focused on the Lord because he is our help. And we can look there again with confidence, as the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 4. And he would say something about this confidence even in chapter 13 of the book of Hebrews. Verse number 5, he says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, have confidence in saying, the Lord is what? My helper. Isn't that what the psalmist said? He's my help. He's my refuge. He's my strength. And he's my help. So we can boldly say that the Lord is my helper. And I will not fear what man shall do to me. The Lord wants us to live a life of confidence, church. He don't want us to live a life of timidity or a life of fear. Paul told Timothy, he hadn't given you that spirit. So if he didn't give it, who gave it to us? Satan influenced us to be afraid when all of these things are going on around about us in the world, in the city, in the town, perhaps where we live. This devil wants us to be afraid of this. I'm saying to us this morning, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. God got our back from the spiritual standpoint. He got our back. The Lord wants us to live a life of confidence, I've said, not arrogantly, but in a submissive spirit. He assures us that he'll help us as we live in obedience with his will. When we do that, he's able to present us faultless. The Bible says in Jude 24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. But you know when he's going to do that? When you realize he's your refuge, when you realize he's your strength, when you realize he's your help, and when you put your faith and your trust and your confidence in him, and when you obey his will, God will keep you from falling. He'll be there to present you. That is, the Lord will present you faultless before the presence of the glory of God. So as I close this morning then, knowing all of this about God, or to make us love him even more and cause us to gladly seek his will and obey his will. We ought to be like those folks on the day of Pentecost. The Bible says when they heard this, when they heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, when they heard this, Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, they were pricked in their hearts. And they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children And to them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words, the Bible says, that he testified, exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. The Bible says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Yes, they were glad to hear the good news about God's love for them and giving them a remedy to get out of their sins. This morning, we ought to be glad to hear that God is our refuge, that God is our strength, that God is our help, and that he will, Jesus Christ, that he'll present us faultless before God's presence. We'll be glad to hear that. And being glad to hear that, then, we ought to have that submissive spirit that whatever you want me to do, Lord, I'll do it. We'll say like Samuel told the young man to say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Yes, we ought to just say, whatever you want me to do, I'm willing to do it because I realize that you are my refuge. But again, I must underscore the point that God is only the refuge and the strength and the help to his people, folks that are doing his will. He will provide that spiritual safety. He will provide that spiritual strength. He will provide that spiritual help. But you got to run. Remember that verse that said, the righteous run to that tower? You got to run to it. Connect yourself with God Almighty through obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're here then this morning, you're subject to the call of the gospel. We want to encourage you to obey the Lord. The Lord will add you to his church, the one that Jesus died for. One that you can read about in the New Testament. The one that he's coming back to present to the Father. You ought to want to be in that church and be a faithful member of the church. So would you come this morning? Give your life to the Lord. If you're already a member of the body of Christ, but somehow you've been wavering. You've been faltering. Because all of the stuff that you see in the news and all of the stuff that you witness perhaps with your own eyes and all of the stuff that's been happening to folks that you know that are negative, all of the stuff have an impact in your life and causing you to doubt God and to give up on God, you must know this morning again that God will protect your soul in spite of the fact of all of these physical things that are going on. So if those things are causing you to falter, I want to encourage you this morning, get your confidence and your trust back in God. If he's causing you to walk away from God, then come back to him through confession and repentance. Now, if you just need prayer for strength, perhaps you need to come this morning also. Whatever your need is, while we're standing, while we're singing, would you come? On Calvary is the light that one that would come.